Hello, hello, and welcome to Max XP for RPGs, the podcast where I talk about RPGs and also whatever else I want, because it's my podcast. So, if somehow you found me, welcome to the show. I don't really do this for money. I don't do it for clicks or likes or anything like that. I just do it because I literally have no one else to talk to about all the crap that that I think is fun. My wife thinks it's weird, so so that just kind of leaves me with talking to the air. Well, I mean, talking in a podcast format, I suppose, and hoping that somebody else finds it interesting enough to engage. So here we are. Hopefully your day is going okay. Mine has been ruthlessly busy. I actually currently have a massive headache, and once again doing this podcast while I'm driving. Thankfully, I have an immaculate talent for multitasking. So anyway, oh, it smells terrible outside, and the outside air is getting in my car, and ugh. There's a cheese factory, that's probably where it's coming from, but good Gandhi, that is awful. Ugh. Well, on a different note, oh gosh, the further I get away from that stupid factory, the better. So, what am I playing lately? I just beat the Elite Four and the Champion in Pokemon Shining Pearl. Oh my Gandhi. Like, catching Palkia was a pain in the butt, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't remember, like, it's been a while since I've actually had a challenge in catching a legendary, because all the legendaries from, like, Reshiram in Pokemon Black was pretty dang easy. Everything after that, I swear, just got easier. Excuse me. And catching Palkia, like, felt like the old days, where you're throwing, like, 30, 40 balls just to get it to stay in one of them. But after a... just choked on my own spit. After throwing a good 30 to 40 balls, I finally got it in a timer ball. So that was great. And then I went through the rest of the gym leaders without much of a problem. I think I only had one left after that. Just Volkner and Sunny Shore City. And he wasn't really that much of a problem. I dealt with Volkner pretty well, pretty easily. But then, you know, Victory Road was pretty easy. No real issues there. And then, you know, the Elite Four. First one, not really a problem. Second one, Aaron's the first one. Aaron wasn't really a problem. Then Bertha, Elite Four number two, kicked my butt. I had two Pokemon left, both of them had health in the red before I actually beat her. And it's all because she started with a freaking Quagsire that had Recover and Leftovers. And Quagsire is already a freaking tank. Like, that stupid Pokemon has crazy high defense. So no matter what I hit it with, and I didn't have any grass-type Pokemon or grass-type moves on my team, everything I hit it with that wasn't super effective, which I didn't have anything that was super effective, was... yeah, it didn't do me any good. Not to mention it had a water absorb, so if I tried to hit it with a water-type move, that would heal it too. So the Quagsire was like a massive wall that took out three of my Pokemon, and as soon as I was able to get rid of the Quagsire, then I had to deal with a Whiscash, which thankfully I was able to get rid of with a single hit. Thankfully my Rhydon outsped it. I was really worried about that, but my Rhydon outsped it, and then my Rhydon my Rhydon was taken out by the following Pokemon, which I don't remember what it was. And then I, you know, got through Bertha by the skin of my teeth. And then Flint was kind of a pushover compared to Bertha. And then Lucian was like, I'm the strongest Elite Four. And then I kicked him in the rear, and that was done. He wasn't really much of a problem. And then there was Cynthia, who was... Cynthia wasn't terrible. I was kind of prepared for Cynthia. I wasn't prepared for Bertha. That was where I made the mistake. I was not at all prepared for Bertha. I was prepared for Cynthia. So dealing with Cynthia was not much of a problem until she got to her Milotic at the end. Not only was Milotic a tank, it was basically eating up every move that my Luxray was dropping on it, but it also had to recover. So there was a good long battle between me and the Milotic, where Cynthia was either using a full restore or her Milotic was using recover. That took out, like, if the battle itself was maybe 20 minutes long, that took about 15 minutes of the battle. It was ludicrous that there was just so much healing going on, and I'm just like, just, you know, you're not gonna win, just let it happen. So yeah, I beat the Elite Four, finally got all Pokemon in the Pokedex, got the National Dex, and finally I'm getting the Pokemon that I've wanted for, like, since I started the game, to rebuild a team. So that's fun. And yeah, there are other games that are waiting for me other than Pokemon, but now I can just kind of, like, put it on the back burner and go to other games and just kind of go back to it whenever I have the itch. So yeah, that was the longest winded this is what I'm playing today. So anyway, the topic for today, I wanted to talk about The Witcher just in general. So I've read some of the books. I haven't read all of them. I've read the first four. I'm into Baptism of Fire, which is in, like, the actual Witcher saga. Let's see, there's Blood of Elves, Time of Contempt, and then Baptism of Fire. Yeah, so Baptism of Fire is the third one in. Out of, let's see, Time of Contempt, Baptism of Fire. There's another one. Something about a swallow and the Lady of the Lake. I think there's five, but including, like, the first two books, that which are just short stories, that there's a total of seven. I could be wrong about that. Plus also Storm of Seasons, which was written, I think, at the time The Witcher 3 was released, which is also a compilation of short stories. But so I read Last Wish, Sword of Destiny, Blood of Elves, Time of Contempt. The books are really, really good, but the way they've built Geralt in the games is very different than how he's described in the books. He's kind of described to be a little bit on the shorter side, kind of gangly, not very handsome, almost a little bit ugly. You know, obviously the long white hair, and I don't think they describe him as having, like, cat-like eyes. It's more of a, his eyes are more like, I can't remember. I don't think his eyes actually look very different. It's just, like, in the games and in the Netflix series, they make his eyes, like, amber or yellow and cat-like. But, I don't think his eyes are very, like, any different than, like, a typical person's in the books. But anyway, so book, games, TV series, they're all actually pretty different from each other. The only two that are somewhat similar are the games and the TV show. And the TV show is decent. I mean, Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia is fantastic. What's her name? Shalatra. Is it Anne Shalatra? Anna Shalatra? I don't remember. The girl that played Yennefer. I thought she actually did a good job, but she just looked too young, if that makes any sense. I mean, Yennefer had, like, almost like the way I always pictured her, and in the book, she had very pale white skin and raven black hair, but she had almost like a regal appearance, like the way it described her. She had a fairly strong jaw, and kind of a, I don't remember, I think I remember describing that she had a little bit of a larger nose, but like her features altogether were very attractive. The one thing they obviously, everybody gets right, is that she had violet eyes. And, you know, that's a key factor for Yennefer Vengeberg. But the one thing I thought was weird in the TV show was how different they made Yennefer and Fringilla Vigo, because, you know, Anna Schlotra is kind of, she's Indian English, I believe, and the girl that plays Fringilla Vigo is black, and in the book, and quite frankly, the actresses, I think, did really well with the parts, but in the book, Fringilla was actually, like, she had the same, most of her features were very similar to Yennefer's, and in the books, Geralt has a fling with Fringilla, because he reminded her of Yennefer, because she had the same raven black hair, it was just cut shorter, and, she had the same pale skin. But, I mean, I'm interested to see, like, kind of the avenue they take with that in the Netflix series. And, I don't know, like, I'm kind of going off random tangents here. So, let me focus it down a little bit. So, The Witcher, in every form it's adapted, seems to be a little bit different from the source material. I think the video games actually nailed it pretty dang close, particularly with 1 and 2, but with 3 they kind of buffed Geralt up quite a bit, and they gave him more of a handsome appearance. And I get why they did that. I mean, it wouldn't exactly be very entertaining to be playing a game with a scrawny dude that's kind of ugly. I think most people would be like, this is weird. it would feel off a little bit. But that's kind of the interesting thing about the books, is the main character is supposed to be kind of off-putting, because he's so, he's very intelligent. He has a very strong moral compass, but he's also he's also distant, and he's kind of cold, except for those that he's very familiar with, those that he considers his friends. He's actually very kind and very very thoughtful towards them. The one thing I think was weird was the dynamic between Geralt and Yaskier, or Dandelion, in the series versus Geralt and Yaskier in the games and in the books. In the games and the books, it was actually a little bit more close, because Geralt and Yaskier, while Yaskier was, you know, the bard, he was loud and over the top and extravagant and a little bit of a playboy. By a little bit, I mean he was very much a playboy. And it was interesting in the books to see the dynamic between Geralt and Dandelion, or Yaskier, or however you want to, you know, name it. It doesn't really matter. It's the same person. I call him Dandelion. That's how I've always known him. But the dynamic between the two, like, there wasn't any friction or any real tension between the two, but there was a stark contrast, and it made for very interesting reads. And the thing I love about the Witcher books, and this is the thing that I think that the Netflix series missed, like, just greatly missed, is how intelligently it was written. The Witcher books, there's obviously going to be a lot of action. It's a story about a freaking monster hunter, but the intelligence of their conversations, they're so thorough in how they describe and how they try and persuade towards their line of thought, whether it be a political stance or even something trivial. You know, everyone has an opinion on something, and when they have their debates, even if you don't agree with one or both of, you know, the people's opinions who are debating, you know exactly where they stand because of how well it, how I guess the best way to put it is they make it so clear you can't misunderstand. You can't misinterpret exactly where they are in their line of thought. And that's one thing that I'm like, that's just something that doesn't happen. And it's kind of sad that, like, you know, Hollywood and many other, not just Hollywood, but like worldwide, really, companies that are, you know, cinema companies, really, the cinema industry is pulling away from that intelligent line of, I guess that intelligent form of dialogue. It's not allowed to have differing opinions. It's not allowed to have philosophical debates. It's always, this is the way you should think. No one in this movie ever disagrees with each other. So that's the way you need to see things. And if you don't, then you're the problem. That's just not the way it is. That's just not the way life is. I mean, everybody has different experiences, which leads them to different philosophies and different thoughts. And The Witcher is such an interesting novel series and video game series, really, because the same thing happens in the video games, where these debates happen, and they're so adequately, not adequate, yeah, eloquently played. Eloquently stated that it's hard to describe. It's intriguing, I guess, is the best way to put it, because that kind of dialogue just doesn't happen. So, and The Witcher 3 is one of my favorite Western RPGs as well. Obviously, we're going to talk about the RPG. And I love the way the combat moves, like the sword play. You know, everyone else kind of feels clunky as you kind of watch them, but Geralt's movements are very, they're very precise, and they're very, I don't know the word, I'm blanking on the word, I have a massive headache, I'm trying so hard to even enunciate properly here. Geralt's movements are very precise and very intentional. Like it's almost like a dance, the way Geralt moves around with his swordplay. But the thing I love as well about The Witcher is it ties almost a horror aspect to it. So that, you know, you're dealing with monsters, but you're also dealing with ghosts and ghouls and all sorts of things and it's one of my favorite things. Like, one of my favorite scenes is for the quest Jenny of the Woods. And if you've played the game and you're familiar with the quest, you know exactly what happens. You're tracking this wraith that keeps chasing people, and I don't remember if it ended up killing anybody, but Geralt's just kneeling down meditating next to a fire. And then behind him, you see, like, this shadow just pass by. And then he opens his eyes because he senses it. And, you know, he looks up and stares at this ghost straight in the face. Not a wince, not an ounce of fear. Stands up, draws a sword, and he's just ready to go. I'm like, God, that's cool. Like, how could it be any cooler than that? And so, I don't know. There's a lot of things like that. Like, you know, you go through this old town that had been abandoned, and this massive house with a lantern. You can see the ghosts of people that were killed there. And there's a whole series of events that unfold with that. And the game itself is put together so well. You can definitely tell the developers loved the Witcher book series, and how intricately they've designed and built the world itself. It shows. I mean, I was watching a video where this guy was breaking it down on in terms of, like, the game design aspect of it, and he was pointing out the rocks on the side of the road and, you know, the pavement in the road itself are the same texture, because the people in that land would probably be using the rocks nearby to create the pavement for the road. And I'm like, God, that's so interesting. That's such an intricate little design idea that, like, you know, most people that, you know, wouldn't even really consider that. But it's such a fine-tuned design just in the world itself and the animations. And The Witcher video game is one of the coolest video games out there, and there are scenes in there that are not recommended for kids. There's language that's pretty harsh. I would actually personally love it if the developers would introduce a kind of censor kind of thing. And I know a lot of people are like, oh no, don't censor. Think about it in the grand scheme of things. Even if you don't want it censored, you don't have to have it censored. But, you know, sometimes video games in general are geared towards the younger audience, right? So having a game that's as big in scope and as fantastic and as well built and well designed as The Witcher, and only allow that for adults. I mean, if there was an option for censoring and, you know, younger audiences can kind of get into it, honestly, I think that would open up a big avenue for The Witcher and obviously increase sales just in general. But, you know, again, people are going to put up the fight, you know, don't censor. I just think if there's an option there so that, you know, kids that are under the age of, you know, 18 that are interested can pick up and play and not have any real worries, and, you know, down the line when that's not a big worry for them, they can turn off the sensor, you know, just kind of, you know, have it like a toggle in the options menu. I don't know, like, my daughter, when she grows up, I would love her to play The Witcher, but at the same time, I'm a little scared of that, because there's a lot of things in there that I'm like, I don't think she would feel comfortable if I was sitting in the room watching her play it because of certain scenes and certain language and things like that. So again, having an option for a censor for younger audiences, I think would make it just a little bit more accessible in the grand scheme of things. But anyway, The Witcher book series is really, really good, really interesting, very well written. World building's phenomenal. The game, same thing. Witcher 3 in particular, world building is amazing. Characters are very fleshed out and very thorough. And if you're not familiar with the books, it's easy to understand the characters. And it's kind of easy to get to know them. And like, there's dialogue that traces back, and you get to know. You get to hear, like, the backstory straight from the characters, like, what has happened in the past, how do we know each other, what about this event in our lives, things like that. And, I think that the Netflix series, while Henry Cavill nails Geralt as a character, while all the actors and actresses just nail their parts, I'm interested because there's certain aspects that, like, in the books, I'm like, I'm wondering how they're gonna really have this reflect in the series, because they made, obviously with Fringilla and Yennefer, there being such a drastic difference between the two. Maybe they'll do it like almost like personality kind of thing. That would be an interesting take on that. But I mean, everybody killed their parts. Fantastic jobs. It's just the writing is definitely, like, it lacks the eloquence and the intelligence that the books that is so beautifully written in the books. So there you go. We talked about The Witcher in the most haphazard way possible. Thoughts were scattered, but I have a headache, and that's how we did the podcast. So maybe I'll kind of dumb it down on The Witcher and really focus on the game and maybe the actual book series in separate podcasts. This has been a long one. I've talked for a long time. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it short right here. So hopefully you enjoyed. If not, here were the ramblings of a lunatic. We'll see you next time.